Yes, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. We praise you, Lord, that you have given us dominion and authority on this earth. And we bind up any attempts of the enemy to keep anybody that wants to be in this outreach fellowship from getting on, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that once they get on, they're going to stay on until it's time to go. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven tonight. And that when we pray, our prayers are answered. And we thank you for that, Father. I glorify you, Father, and I ask and I pray, Father, that you hold us steady. Steady as a rock, as our feet are on the rock in this time ahead, Lord. Looks like great things are fixing to happen very, very soon. And we thank you, Father, for taking us by the hand and leading us through it, Lord. Giving us the things that are necessary to get the job done. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for boldness in our faith. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit being filled inside of us at all times, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your loud voice that we hear in our spirit telling us, leading us, and guiding us the whole way, Father God. And I praise you and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you've already picked your bride, your man-child ministry, and all the other things that goes along with it, Father God. And I know, Lord, that nobody is going to be disappointed in the days ahead, except those who are struggling. And that's what this is all about, Lord, that we will be the help that they're needing for the people out there in the days ahead. And I praise you and I glorify you for helping us tonight to do what you want us to do and not what we want, Lord. It's always better when you orchestrate things, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we praise you, we glorify you for healing Jeff beginning. We thank you, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and he's set free from this infirmity in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for putting peace in Terry's heart. Because you're there with her, Lord. You're guiding her and holding her hand. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? A testimony. Yeah, Matt, where did I get that? Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I want to pray for rain, because we need it.
Okay.
So, Lord, we thank you for sending more rain, Lord. We just loose those clouds to bring more rain over us, Lord, and not too much, Lord, but just enough for what we need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plants around here are suffering a little bit because of lack of it. But Lord, we just thank you for bringing the rain. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I'd like to add too that I thank you, Lord, that ever not for a week now that you would put us at least 3/4 to an inch out there. Slow rain all night long in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. We can get a full inch here, Matt. It'll be gone by tomorrow afternoon on this hill. But God is merciful. Got a green yard. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request or want to pray or has a testimony? Go ahead, Missy.
speaking of rain, one day last week, it was the first time it had rained, I think it been like maybe 2 weeks or whatever. And it rained a little, it was raining just a little bit. And I looked on my phone at the radar, and here there was this, I call it a popcorn storm, you know, like in the summer, you get them all over the place and I don't know where they, you know, just anyway. So it was like developing close to us. And I was like, oh, it looks like it's like we're going to just miss it, you know, or most of it, you know. And I'm like, Lord, bring more rain. And then after just a little bit, it started pouring. And then it stopped for a little while and then poured some more. So I was like, thank you, Lord. And I looked at the radar and it did grow even more yet. So praise the Lord. Good answer. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, thank for you giving Lord. Them rain down there in Tennessee.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right, anyone else? Terry, you got an update for us? Anybody else want to pray or got something they'd like to share? Yeah, dude.
I'll pray about some things. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of your great and wondrous things that you've already done for us, Lord, and thank you for what plans you have for us and the days we're coming into. And Father, I thank you for helping each and every one of us grow and mature in you and be sanctified and be ready and to be the overcomers you've called us to be by your grace and faith and promises and a good confession, and that we are growing and more in you every day, Lord, and we are growing and abounding in love for one another more and more. Lord, that you are uniting your bride to be one with you and one with each other. And that you've got so many wonderful things planned for us to do and to see. And we just thank you, Father, for making this work, Lord, because we can't do it. I thank you for helping us all be in the rest. Lord, when we stand in faith for something, that we don't get moved away from things that what we're believing for and the enemy trying to get us looking at ourselves or getting us into any kind of works. Lord, that you keep us rooted and grounded in the truth. And as Michael prayed earlier, Lord, that we are steadfast, we are unmovable, and that we are doing the work of your kingdom, Lord, and bringing down the kingdom of darkness even now, Lord, and the things that we've been praying and commanding and declaring and decreeing and watching you do it, Lord, because we can't do it. You just want our faith. You want us to speak your word and command and fight against the powers and principalities and the work of darkness and our real enemy, Lord, and putting to death in us the flesh and all the things that you're doing to mature us, Father. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for helping us all take our promised land. And we're all going to be, we're all going to receive everything in our patience and our trials, that we are, lack nothing. We're going to have everything because that's what your word says. So I thank you, Lord, for working patience in us and making us to be who we're supposed to be in you, that we are manifesting your nature more and more every day as we lose our life in this world, and helping us, Lord, to overcome the distractions and the things that tempt our flesh, Lord, that you deliver us from all those temptations, and you make us to overcome, Lord, by your power and your grace, and that you continue to pour out your spirit upon us, and we are just doing what you want us to be doing every day, Lord, and we are fighting the good fight of the faith, and we're discerning our thoughts, the intents of our hearts, Lord, you see. If there's anything, Lord, that we need to be freed from yet, Father, that you show us, and that we would hearken and obey to your word, and that we would continue to fight the good fight of faith and just believe that we are who you say that we are, and all of those promises, Lord, you're going to manifest in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us, Lord. And we all pray, Lord, that we be accounted worthy, and you're going to see to it that those prayers are answered in our lives, Father. Thank you, and I praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, one of you stewards. Hey, Anna.
It's me, Michael. I wanted to give a testimony, if that's okay.
Well, sure.
Kind of a sequel testimony. I shared it a little bit here locally a couple months ago, but I haven't shared it on the outreach, so I thought I would. It's been like 2 years ago since I gave that testimony. I think probably everyone remembers. So I'll try not to reiterate too much, but where I went through like 16 or 18 months of internal bleeding from my bowels and all these problems and a blockage and just so many problems. And so I'll try not to reiterate that too much. Anyways, the Lord healed me and I shared my testimony and I was completely healed for 6 months. And we were planning, last March, we started planning our cross-country trip to go back to Washington and see some family. He wanted the kids to see his dad while he's still in some decent health. So we planned this trip cross-country. And I told my husband, I said, wow, it's a good thing I'm healed. I sure wouldn't want to go across the country like that, because I was like constantly having to run to the bathroom and pass blood. And it was just miserable. And I was thinking, oh, I would never. I was like, we wouldn't even be able to do that trip if I was like that. He goes, no, probably not. So anyways, we're like, okay, cool. Thank you, Lord. You know, Lord told us we can go ahead and go on this trip. And within a week, the symptoms started. And I was like, no, not again. No, please, no, I've been healed. And it was hard for me because I was like, no, I've been healed. And I was like, well, I know this can happen. You know, you can get tested and everything. So anyways, I got tested and it wasn't near as bad as it was the first time. I didn't end up having what I could feel like a mass in my low intestines and a blockage. And, I didn't have that. I didn't have a lot of abdominal pain like before. I would have abdominal pain, but I would have these bouts of running to the bathroom and bleeding and, days where I just was super weak and didn't have any energy to do things. And so I just kept saying, no, I was already healed. Thank you, Lord. And, anyways, we went on the trip and it was kind of rough. You know, you're on the freeway and what the problem was is I don't even know what the problem was, but the problem was I'd get this wave of sickness and I'd have to have a bathroom in like less than a minute or I wasn't going to make it, but I was on the freeway, you know, and that's not going to happen. And I'd be like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm healed. I don't receive this, you know, even though I knew, you know, what that sickness felt like. And the Lord was so merciful the whole trip and, didn't have any problems. The sickness would go away, which it normally would not. And the feeling of like just nausea and stuff would go away. And we were able to do the whole trip and I'd have days where I was just super weak and feeling sick. But whenever it actually came down to having to do something, we spent a day in Colorado. I was able to take the hike that we wanted to do. We camped a night. I was able to do that. His brother took us swimming one time. I was able to do that. I was like, man, I don't want to go no swimming. I don't want to be in no pool. Like I'm feeling too weak to even do that, some days. But the Lord was so gracious. And every time I needed to do something, I was able to. Anyway, so we got back from the trip and it ended up being, it was from March all year. So like May this year before I got the manifestation of being healed again. And like I said, it wasn't as bad, but I had some rough days, but I'd never, you know, sought any help from man by the grace of God. I knew that, man probably would have made me even more miserable. I didn't want to even think about that. And so just, I'm just so amazed. Like, I just, it felt like such a long trial. And to go through it twice. And yet God was so faithful. And here I am, and I'm healed. And everything's normal. And I was pregnant again. I was pregnant with Shoshana when it happened the first time. And I was like, oh man, because that was horrible being pregnant with that at the same time. And then it happened this time when I was pregnant. I was like, no, Lord, no, like this can't be happening. And, but God is so faithful and so good. And, I'm healed. So thank you, Lord. I haven't been bleeding. Praise God. Haven't been weak. I haven't been sick. There's been no problems. Everything's perfect. The baby's healthy. I'm healthy. Got strength to do what I need to do. So praise the Lord. So good.
Thank you, Lord.
To just be
thank you, Lord.
Normal.
She won't have this anymore.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Good testimony. Enduring in your faith. Praise God. That's a good testimony. All right. Anybody else? What's up, Benjamin? I hear you. All right. Anybody got anything on their mind? Is your mind working? Amen. Well, as you know, as you probably already know, you heard David last night. No, not last night, Friday night. Yeah, looks like stuff may be happening this weekend, so we'll see. Like the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. Looks like the man child's going to be anointed. Going to have earthquakes. Y'all want me to speak louder? I can tell. I can tell. A lot of other good things are happening as far as bringing down the deep state. It's all coming down. It's all coming down. Anyways, anybody got any questions? I'll sit back here. Anybody got any answers? Yep, the Lord does. The Lord gets the glory. Continue to get the glory. So we're liable to have a big week next week. Big week. So that'd be good. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anybody listen to Friday Night Stream? Everybody listen to Friday Night Stream? I'd go back and listen to it if you didn't.
What there was of it, I listened to it, but they took it down.
Oh, they did? Huh. Ain't that special? I think we'll go by YouTube. All right, anybody else? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go over some of the stuff that David covered. It looks like the earthquakes are going to start the 5th and go through the 7th. It's not going to be near as bad, like David said, Friday night. It's not going to be near as bad as the dreams and all the words about it have told us. The Lord has told us, no, it's not going to be as bad as all of that. It's going to be big, though. And also the, it looks like the man-child anointing is going to take place also, probably on the 7th. Yeah. And then all the people are going to come back. They're supposed to come back. And yeah, that'll be awesome. And then there's going to be some people that are going to be changed drastically, right, Anna? Yeah. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that one. And it's going to be an awesome time this weekend. It's going to be a busy time, it looks like. We're going to have pot blessing and pot blessing. We're going to have people there we haven't seen in a while, I bet you. Thank you, Lord. I will say this, that there is a lot of people being removed out of the governments of the world, and some good people are going to be replacing it shortly, looks like. So, I don't know what I don't know what else I can tell you other than just getting, I hope you're all ready. I hope you're all ready. I pray you're all ready for this great awakening fixed to come on the scene. If you've been, listen, if you've been believing by faith for what you want, like the bride or the man-child ministry, you'll be in it. You'll still be in it. And I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed that's going to, that's been believing for it. Okay, that's about all I got on that kind of stuff. What kind of a subject did y'all want to talk about tonight? Anybody got a favorite subject that, or a subject that you would like to talk about? I don't have one. Maybe you can get one if you don't mind. Has anybody got a subject they'd like to talk about? How about humility? Boy, I need that one. How about humility? I'm going to read you something that I typed out from, I don't know where I got it. It said, humility means a person will accept whatever the Lord gives him, for his expectations are not focused on himself. And y'all can hear me okay, can't you? Okay. He is able to shout hallelujah and other thanks to the Lord concerning anything the Lord may be pleased to give. Y'all hear what that says? Did you understand it? Humility means a person will accept whatever the Lord gives him, for his expectations are not focused on himself. He's able to shout hallelujah and offer thanks to the Lord concerning anything the Lord may be pleased to give. So everything that comes to us from the Lord, we should be praising God for it, shouldn't we? Even the trials, because what do trials do? Make us humble. Okay, number 2. We humble ourselves before God in order that we may seek our lack and receive from his abundance of grace. We humble ourselves before God in order that we may seek our lack and receive from his abundance of grace. What does that mean? That means we humble ourselves before the Lord and ask Him to tell us, you know, what do I lack here? What do I need, Lord? What is it that you need me to do? What is it that I need to work on? What is it that you need to work in me? Humility is not looking less at oneself. Humility is not looking at oneself at all. Whoa. Y'all hear what I said? Humility is not looking less at oneself. Humility is not looking at oneself at all. It's not about us, is it? It's about Jesus. One of the greatest signs of humility, oh, I've heard this a lot, is the fear of being wrong. I've got that same thing over here on the door. One of the greatest signs of humility is the fear of being wrong. He who is afraid of being incorrect will naturally think and consider before God. I think he's telling us to slow down, isn't he? And think about what we say, what we do before we do it. Is it going to be pleasing to God? You know, sometimes I get to thinking about all the things that goes on daily and the things that I get distracted from sometimes, and I try not to get into condemnation, and I'll just rebuke the enemy from doing that. But you know, you want to be right, and sometimes you just fall off into that rabbit hole somewhere. Then you get back, oh my goodness, I stayed 30 minutes in there looking at garbage, you know, or an hour, whatever. And then I had to repent, come back to the Lord, and the condemnation sets in, you rebuke out, you go on. I've learned to just go ahead and confess it and forget about it. Get back on track. Because when you confess your sins, the Lord says it's gone, isn't it? It's not something in the past, it's gone. It's left, it's gone, there ain't no more. Anybody got anything you want to say on those four that I've just given out? I've got six more. Get out of here. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, Julie.
What you were saying is I guess we have to accept that nature, that part of, that nature of humility, because as Christ in us, who is, you know, humble, you know, and he lets us go through things and puts us in whatever circumstances. And, you know, just places like we can't fix ourselves and we can't save ourselves, kind of like Anna's testimony, you know, and anyone's testimony is like, we can't heal ourselves. You know, it's like, okay, you have no place to look but up. It's like, okay, have mercy, Lord. I'm not your mercy. I need your help. And when you realize you can't do it, you know, he has a way of helping us lose our life, you know, as far as being self-sufficient or independent, or I'm speaking for myself. And, he's like, well, you can't do what you used to be able to do, whatever that may be. You know, it's like, okay, I'm needful. I need to humble myself and it's like ask for help, or I need to ask God what to do now because I've come to the end of life, you know, what do I do? You know, so it is a breaking, it is a breaking. We all have to get broken, you know, from that pride and self-will and independence and everything that we were raised up to be in this world, you know, and to get Babylon out of us, you know, getting that worldly stuff out of us. So yes, we all have to be broken. And that's a humbling before, you know, before God. And when we sin, we have to go to somebody, you know, if we hurt somebody, to go and humble ourselves and, you know, and ask for their forgiveness. And that's humbling. And so there's all kinds of ways God uses, whatever, you know, giving us a conscience of sin, you know, whatever it is, that's what he's doing, you know. But we do have to confess, I have that humility, because I you know, I hate the pride, I hate the other nature that, you know, I was born with. I want that humility, and it's not natural, you know, it's supernatural. I guess it's kind of like the confession, the good confession. I am humble because that's what part of the Spirit, Holy Spirit is. As part of the fruit of the Spirit is humility. That's all I'd like to share.
Amen. Go ahead, Anna. Thank you.
I had to look it up because I could only remember half of it, but Andrew Murray sums it up pretty good in his book, Humility.
Yeah.
He said, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised.
9 to self. Yeah. That's good. We're talking about being distracted, getting on YouTube, or watching TV. That's another one. I know most of y'all don't. When we do things that are out of the Spirit, we're feeding the flesh, right? Remember that black dog, white dog scenario that David gives out every now and then? Where if you feed the white dog, he's going to be the overcomer over the black dog. But if you feed the black dog more than you feed the white dog, the black dog is going to be the overcomer. And just consider the black dog as flesh and the white dog as the spirit. If you feed the spirit more than you feed your flesh, well, then you're going to be a spiritual overcomer. You're going to be walking in the spirit. And so, as one who has failed, but is looking to do a whole lot better, best thing to do is to feed the spirit more, a whole lot more, at 100% more than we feed the flesh. And when you feed the spirit, that's a humbling experience. Not only that, it's good for your spirit and your soul. I don't know if that made any sense at all, but I think it did. Makes sense to me. Okay. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, you know, he tells us we're told to clothe ourselves in humility, and we can think like, okay, I'm going to put on humility, and it can become even a prideful thing. Then I'm going to put on humility, and it's got to come from the Lord first. I would think he has to initiate that in us, to want us to put that, the thing that we need to be humble, and we need to receive from him. So are we going to receive from him humility and then clothe ourselves with humility as he is extending to us? You know, we can even feel that you need to be humble, but it's another thing to sense and know that God is ministering that to you. And then are we going to receive it? So anyway, that's kind of a difference in that.
You said a whole lot better than I did, and that was good. Oh. That's what I was thinking. Okay. See, now I'm practicing humility here. Loneliness of mind means not having any room for oneself. But I remember now, this came from Brother Lawrence's, what's that book he wrote? Makes no difference. Loneliness of mind means not leaving any room for oneself. It is when we count others as better than ourselves. This is the most difficult of all Christian virtues. Lowliness of mind means not leaving any room for oneself. It is when we count others as better than ourselves. This is the most difficult of all Christian values. What does he mean by that? Is this too boring for y'all? I'm just asking. I don't know. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, to me, it means putting others before yourself and considering them more important and not fighting for what you want as compared to what somebody else wants. You know, not arguing with someone about something, you know.
Does that mean husbands and wives too?
Yeah.
Well, sure it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not defending yourself.
Yeah. That's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. All we do, we want to jump up and say, let me tell you something. You know, you want to get yourself on an even. Now, let me tell you where I'm coming from. No, just shut up and let it go. I'm finding that out more with my grandkids than I did with my kids. You know what I mean? Grandkids, now I'm at the age where my grandkids are getting up there now, they're acting stupid. And so we have to talk to them in a way where we're encouraging rather than knock them down, you know what I mean? Encouraging not to jump on them. And they already know they did wrong when they do something wrong. They already know they did that wrong. And I'm finding out that they'll listen to you more if you just encourage them. Well, you messed up this time. Maybe you just get it all together now and get your word and let the Lord lead you where you need to go. And I'll tell you, it's working. I've got a grandson that confessed to be an atheist at one time. He's now going to church, reading his Bible. And that's my grandson from my second daughter. And I'm in there with Blake. Blake is doing good. Was doing good, best I know. He still is. But we're going to... I'm still always trying to encourage all of my grandkids anymore. I don't try to jump on them and say, well, you know better than that. The best guy I've been told you, you know, and you ain't lifted, boy. No, you can't do that anymore. You just got to encourage them or they won't talk to you. I'm not calling Papa because he jumps all over me, man. But I don't do it anymore. I hadn't done it quite some time. That's what I'm saying. What is that old saying? It's better to smooth with honey than it is with something else. Fire or something like that. I don't remember. Y'all going to have to help me out tonight. You know, this is getting... Yeah, no, it's not. The God of glory himself condescends to be a man. This is humility. Think about that one. The God of glory himself condescends to be a man. That was, and not only be a man, to be killed as a man. The more humble one is at God's feet, the more useful he is in God's hand. Ooh, that's a good one. The more humble one is at God's feet, the more useful he is in God's hand. Some regard tears as a sign of weakness, but quite the contrary. The one who has no tears shed has buried his humanity. If you are truly a humble person before God, you will eventually come to realize that the ridicule, despising, and slander that is directed at you from people is part of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and you will accept such discipline. Did y'all understand that one? If you're truly a humble person before God, you will eventually come to realize that the ridicule, despising, and slander that's directed at you from people is part of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And you will accept such discipline. That can be a hard one at times, you know. It can be a hard one at times. Meekness means flexibility. One who is meek is able to declare that he will have whatever God wants him to have. Meekness is maintaining an attitude whereby whatever you would decide on is subject to change according to God's will, because a meek heart is an obedient heart. Y'all remember Jonah, don't you? All right. That's all I got on that. Y'all want to talk about something else? Yeah, Anna.
I was thinking about humility recently, and I came across this verse in 2 Corinthians 12:15. I'm sure a lot of people feel this way sometimes, but as a mother, and of course it could be a spouse, a caregiver, whatever, sometimes I just feel like I'm all spent out, you know, like I'm an empty pitcher and I'm still pouring, you know, and, obviously that's not right, because was to be filled up from the Lord, not for myself. But I came across this, and this is Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 12:15. And he says, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that's humility. Like, he didn't expect anything. He didn't want anything. He was willing to just pour it all out for these people. And he said, gladly, like, you know, it was his joy. And I just thought, wow, thank you, Lord. I was praying, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving that to me. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, I just pray right now. Thank you, Father, that we have this kind of humility, Lord, by your grace, that we could say with Paul, I will most gladly spend and be spent for the brethren. Thank you, Father, for giving us that grace to be humble, to love others that much, Lord, that it would be a joy to pour everything out. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yes, that's a humbling experience, wouldn't it be? I'd be just like Jesus. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, he also, Paul travailed about the church. You know, he was worried about the church. You know, sometimes he'd say, but I fear, you know, that somehow you get beguiled by Satan. So he feared for the people. He feared that they wouldn't fear God, I think. Sometimes when a person has favor, you know, favor with humility can be a great blessing from the Lord. You know, Jesus had favor with God and man as a child. See? So, and you know, when people tend to talk to you, you know, if they are humble, you know, if a child's humble because he's done something wrong, you have to discern these things into their face, because you can't do that over the phone unless you can really pick up the expression in that person's voice or thing. But, you know, how to save someone, how to operate in that saving of a person, how to be humbled to the point where you know, the Lord's working it all through you, and he's doing it all. It's an excitement. And at the same time, it shows you that, you know, your genuinely conscious, of what the other person is saying, and you're mixing in this diligence with this, this fear of the Lord, because, you know, humility has to come. You know, I'm sure everyone was humbled, even if you'll listen to, How Shall We Die to Get Humbled. And, you can look at some of the examples, especially of Jesus Christ going and humbling himself for what he had to go through. So, and we have our own cross too to go through. So I think when you're put in a situation where you have to do something, and you're leaving it up to the Lord, is also a humility. Because can you imagine Paul being under arrest for so many years? House arrest in Jerusalem. And then going to Rome and being under house arrest, who knows how long there. And then being let go and rearrested on new charges because they had no charges against them. And then they put them on the outskirts of Rome to kill him. So, you know, how much of a humbling act can it be? You know, if someone tries to take away your witness, you know, you have a witness that lives within you. And sometimes you want to defend that witness, but are we following him? Because we have to take our cross. We have to follow him. And you know, when you look at that verse of 2 Corinthians 6:16, God says that he would dwell in you and walk. And if God's going to dwell in you and walk, then how can you walk ahead of him? You want to walk with God. Just like Adam walked with God. And you can't walk ahead of God or Jesus. We're in his name, and it is his name. And we can't get ahead of his name for our own name. You can look at it that way too. We don't want to overstep our nature, character, and authority that we have in Christ to be in our own name. You know, Paul was said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you unless, because some of you might say that I baptized in my own name. So, you know, we don't want to step ahead of ourselves that way. So there's a lot to humility. You know, I like to think that there's a gentleness and a goodness in it also. Well, of course, you know, it's the fourth fruit of the Spirit of God, the long suffering. I like the saying, you can't pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. You can just put on a pair of boots that have straps on them and try to pick yourself up. I never really thought of it, but, I guess you can use your bootlaces. You know, if you can pick yourself. Try it, you know, have your kids put on their winter boots. Okay, son, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And if you can float in the air, you can get away with it. Anyway, the humility is there, you know, and if you can even just get into the word as if you're there. You know, like, I really got that once when I read the book of Philemon. The letter, Philemon, with Onesimus, you can just tell by the way they're talking in the words there, and how Paul is sending this slave back to his master, a saved individual. And it's just the way they're speaking with each other that shows the love of God, you know. And he's not telling him what to do, but he's written it in such a way that he's making suggestions that you're going to do more than I even ask about this slave who's now a brother. So it humbles yourself for not to be self-exalting, which I think it's a little harder for guys because sometimes, you know, especially young men who been through sports league or something like that, they don't. We live in a society where you try to be tough and stuff, and it's hard considering how you have to be, especially like if you got a wife and children coming along with you. How do you break that tradition that you were taught as a man? Some of the martyr stories, even ones that happened during my lifetime, can be really humbling. You can even do a study on the word wrath. I took up my concordance and looked up every single place in the book, the New Testament, where wrath is mentioned. And I went from the Revelation to Matthew in reverse. And I went through them all and I read them. And it sort of perks you up to see that there is God's wrath, man's wrath, and there's even a verse for the devil's wrath. And how the devil is going to change some people who are vessels of dishonor to do what they're supposed to do in what we read in the book of Revelation and other end time prophecies to the people who are in the church. And it makes you think about what happened when the former reign happened too, because we got that information we try to think about scenarios, but that's no good. You know, you don't think about what you're going to go through. Someone's got it all planned already for you. So, and that's kind of damaging when you start thinking, well, what's going to happen if this or this or this? So you're not giving that over to the Lord. So I'm just throwing these things out, just if anyone gets any ideas about this, because, you know, you can always think about that chapter 2 of Philippians and how the Lord humbled himself so much. And he emptied himself. And how do you become on an equality with God ought to be grasped at and to be humbled by that? You know, I just recently saw a video of what happened to some Christians in the past in some of the countries like Japan, and at least there they put up a memorial for it. You know, I never knew that, you know, that they had a memorial for some of these cities that they were very badly treated in, the Japanese government put them up in modern times. So it's very interesting that they would even do that. So, these are just my thoughts being given. Hopefully they can help people. Praise God.
Amen. Ben, did you have something?
Well, not really. I was kind of trying to go off of what my dad was saying in the beginning, but he kind of change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
I was also going to bring up Philippians chapter 2, so I took a bit of my content away. but there's a lot of people especially people that first come to God and, you know, they probably have a little bit of self-righteousness in them, and I don't want to condemn anybody, so I won't say too much, but a lot of people don't realize that it's Jesus that chose them. They didn't choose Jesus. And so they sort of get this whole mentality of, you know, I chose Jesus, so my salvation is good now. But that's stemmed incorrectly. They could still be saved, but they were chosen by Jesus. And so they have this sense of pride in them. And a lot of people see this pride and they're like, oh, it's because I'm so bold in Christ. But my dad, I remember he explained it to me one day. He explained it to me. He said, there's a difference between being bold and being prideful. Being prideful is because it's by your own actions. Like, I'm prideful that I did a good job at work. But being bold, I forget how he said it, and he probably forgets how he said it. But it's like being bold is like being backed up by faith. Being bold is backed by faith, and being prideful is backed by works. And so a lot of people are thinking like, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm doing that. So I have to be good. But it's God that wills and works in you to do all of this work. And anyways, it's not really connected to humility at all, but you're humbling by faith in these works with God. Anyways, I'm just trying to emphasize the difference between boldness and pride. that's all I got.
The thing that we have to remember is God reads our thoughts all the time. He knows our thoughts all the time. And because he knows our thoughts, we should remind ourselves at all times to cast down vain imagination when they come in, the spirit of pride, and all of those bad things that come across our mind, we learn to cast them down. And that's what you were talking about. And yeah, that part of the humbling experience as well. All right, anyone else? Here's a, y'all find your scripture on humble. On humble, I got a whole book of it here. Can y'all hear me? David had a, y'all gonna make me get up over here on this microphone. That's okay, I'll do this. David had a whole bunch of scriptures on humility that's in on the site. And that's what I did. I went on the site and made a booklet out of it. One of them is James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, the scripture saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Well, that's one we all ought to know. God resists the proud, just like Ben was talking about. The new believer is that star glower, which is a pride, self-righteous type of deal. That's what the denominations are about, is just self-righteousness. Okay, anybody else got a good scripture on humble humility? Fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou was called, and didst confess a good confession, didst confess a good confession, didst confess a good confession in the sight of many witnesses. There it is again. Confess it. Confess who you are in Christ. Anybody else? We'll talk about humility. Yeah, Bill.
There was that chapter that's in Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender. And, you know, I always bring up that second chapter because it's all about love. Yeah. And it's this whole mindset, because we all know what agape is, so I'm not going to do a big spiel on that. It's obedience. We all know that. And, you know, humbling ourselves towards not just being obedient, but being in that mindset and loving that obedience and being in tune and intimate with this love. It's like being in tune with a wife, being in tune with a really good friend, just being very intimate, like an intimate relationship of this agape. It's hard to explain it. I'm thinking about it. And you know, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, I'm probably going to paraphrase this terribly. It's love thinketh not of itself. And so when you think about it, God is love, and he loved us first so that we could love properly. He was the one that agape so that we can agape. And so already right there, there needs to be a level of intimacy of that same mindset of God that already gave that love through his son and through everything for us. And so he kind of wants the same thing out of us, just our own little intimate, humbling way of loving him. Being low in the mind of flesh, but being high-minded in the spirit of love. Anyways, that's just what I'm thinking about.
Amen. Amen. I guess the best explanation of saying humility is wanting to serve man and to mankind to the point to where it's your feelings are not don't matter. It's serving man in a way that's humble and I don't know. It's just there's a verse in scripture I'm trying to think of it. Anyway, it's being a servant. That's what Jesus said he was. He was a servant. Yeah, Judy.
This scripture that was coming to my mind, I guess it was what Ben was sharing, brought it to my mind, is 1 John 3:16. Hereby we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's what, you know, you were talking about. It's about serving. It's like putting others first. It's, you know, we've all been given gifts, and we're supposed to utilize those gifts for the body. You know, next verse says, but whosoever has the world's good, behold his brother's in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You know, let the doers of the word, my little children, let us not love in word either with the tongue, but in deed and truth. It's like in Jesus, you know, Jesus is our example for everything, really. And you know, he laid aside everything, and, you know, and he was washing the disciples' feet. You know, and that was, you know, serving. It was serving. He was the teacher, the master and Lord, you know, and here he is getting down before them and doing a servant's job, which is something, you know, apparently in that time and custom, you know, they had open-toed, you know, shoes, sandals, and I'm sure your feet were dirty, filthy dirty, you know, but to wash feet, you know. That's a humbling thing to do, because servants are supposed to serve their Lord and Master, and here Jesus, you know, exemplified what a servant is supposed to do for, you know, his brethren, you know, for those even from what, you know, what you would consider lower than himself, but he didn't look at it that way, but, you know, just to serve somebody else that needs help, and to lower yourself down from what you think you're, you know, this is too good for me to do, I don't do that kind of thing, whatever, and it's like to do that, and yeah, he's just, he's just some, you know, somebody we want to be, Lord, so help us, you know, take on that nature of yours, that humble servant heart, and yet you were a king, you know? Meekness and majesty. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was thinking again, like, if you are always aware before you speak that the Lord is with you and is within you, then you're gonna be careful in the words you choose. And this is a humility in itself also. But you also wanna win the other soul. If you guard the deposit, like it says in 1 Timothy 6:20, then you're guarding yourself from speaking. You know, like Jesus didn't have too much red lettering when they came and took him. You know, he didn't speak too much. You noticed that there was lots of red lettering for those people who have Jesus' word in red ink. And then suddenly it sort of depletes a lot. And so, you know, there's another verse, you know, that has to do about this. Because, you know, if you even want to win someone to have them bear fruit, you still have to guard the deposit yourself, you know, because you have to be weak to the weak. So this might be a saved person, but you just want to maybe speak to him something that he may have not ever heard before. And sometimes you might have to really bring it down to their level to understand it. For instance, to guard the things that you heard from the Lord in John 12:47. It says there, and if any hear my sayings and guard them not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So if you have that constant presence of the Lord, that you want to gain this person for salvation, or even so that they can bear fruit, if you could put it in the way the Lord wants you to put it, on what you should say at that particular moment. And you know how it is, depending on the person. If it's a family member, then you have more leeway to speak to it, perhaps with family members than you do with others. But even then, you know, you have to be careful too. So to not overstep, to not go over and above what the Lord wants. When you go over above the Lord, you're no longer cooperating with the position you're supposed to have. So there is that humbling that you can be aware of and more perked on sometimes rather than when you're tired and don't want to engage with these people right now because you're tired or something. Or you got your mind elsewhere. You know, you could be thinking of your grandchildren or something and you're talking to this other person. I think Jesus, when he reasoned with someone, was really focused on that soul. And we don't always think this way, but I think Jesus did. There's an eternity for this person's life involved here, you know, so. I don't know if that helps, but that's just something I wanted to bring up anyway. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Missy.
I don't recall anybody mentioning these verses, but. Anybody mention any verses in Philippians 3, chapter 3?
Just go ahead anyway. And give it. I don't think so.
Okay. I know Ben mentioned chapter 2, right? Anyway, Philippians 3, 4, there's a long discourse here. I think that is a pretty good description of humility, too. Though I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if any other man thinks to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count my not of myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what came to me when he was given that discourse of what he used to be, you know, and all those things, it made me think of a kid that somebody that went to college. And, you know, got the wisdom of the world, you know, Paul got all this learning in seminary school. But anyway, and just laid it all behind, left it all behind, you know. And considered it refuge, dung, you know, worth nothing compared to the knowledge of the excellency of the knowledge of God, you know, the wisdom of theologians and the world and all that stuff. you know, just thrown it all away to gain the knowledge of Christ. You know, basically saying, I really don't know what was important, you know. It's kind of like saying, that's, you know, that's not important. That's what I'm seeing here, you know, how I would explain it. It's nothing compared to the eternal value. That's all vanity compared to the eternal value of knowing the Lord and how do you say that? All things for whom I suffered the loss of all things. No, where's that at? Anyway, he said, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do. And that's, I'm having a hard time finding that. Where's that one verse that I was thinking of? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Righteousness which is from God by faith. Is that really? Oh. To know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's what I was thinking. I couldn't think of it. But yeah. So those are some, I think, pretty powerful verses about humility. Thank you, Lord.
I am reminded of a story. I believe it was three Monrovian boys that got on a ship that was going to this island that this man owned. I think he had a big pineapple farm on it. But he wouldn't allow any Christians or any preachers there at all. In fact, he'd do one of two things. He'd put them in his prison, or would ship them out, the next ship came along, or he'd just kill them. But these three Monrovian boys got on the ship, got under his, they wanted to go over there and work, and they were going to give the gospel out as they worked with the slaves that were on the farm. They gave up their life. These were young men. They gave up their life to Christ to get the gospel out on a place that didn't allow the gospel. And that was an awesome testimony of humbling themselves to get the gospel out. The same thing they died to self. The same thing that Jesus did. The same thing that we're supposed to do. Just died to self. They gave up all the luxuries and all the freedom to go get the gospel out to these slaves on this farm. I thought that was awesome of these three young men to give up their life so that they could help others come to life. Y'all ever heard that before? Yeah, Missy, yeah, Julia, no. Yeah, that's, I think it was in a song that she could get, a total story like that. But anyway, and that's always stuck with me about how they died to their self so that they could help others. And that's what Christ wants us to do. Here's another one, is Luke chapter 14, verse 10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that hath bidden thee cometh, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have glory in the presence of all that sit at meat with thee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. I'm trying to figure out where he is. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Y'all want to listen to a song while we think about it? All right, Danny, you got it. I went ahead and got you opened up here so you can share it. I like that song. That's a good one. Thank you, Jesus. That's what your mercy did for all of us. Glory to God. All right, Missy, go ahead. You got something?
I couldn't think of what the Moravians said either, so I had to go look it up. May the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I went to that song compelled by people's in song because I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah. I know it's in a song. I couldn't remember which one it was.
The first time I ever heard that, actually the only time I really heard that story that I can recall was Paris Reedhead's sermon, 10 Shekels and a Shirt.
Yeah.
He talked about that.
Yeah. Sure does. I remember now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure throughout the years and years of Christianity, there have been a lot of people that have given it all up for the Lord. Lord, let it be in us as well. That we would give it all up for you, Lord. Because you deserve it. Thank you, Father. Because you went to the cross for us. How many of you read the Book of Martyrs? Yeah. I've read some of it myself. There's some hideous things that Christians had to go through. Throughout the generations, that's just, oh man, this is mind-boggling. And you know, if you look in that book, if you remember, most of them, or a lot of them that were burnt at the stake were run out by singing gospel songs, singing songs of Jesus. When you read that, did you ever see that? They would sing. They would be singing. Going out. I remember a YouTube video not too many years ago. I was here. We saw over in somewhere in foreign country somewhere that another religion was coming against the Christians and they were burning them up. They were stacking wood around them and burning them up. This one old man that was a Christian, he was praising God, and he was dragging it over toward him. He was dragging the limbs and stuff over toward him. He was burning me, just praising God. Nothing was happening to him. Yeah. That we should be all that bold. You know? Don't let the Lord down. Help us, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Somebody asked about, hey, Debbie Finsky. Thought she had to run back to her computer. Well, I guess she just fell off. All right. Anybody got anything out? Yeah, Jimmy.
Can I? May I play another song? It has the lyrics that you were just talking about, that the Lamb of God may receive his reward for his suffering.
Okay.
Can I play another song?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we're already still open. Yeah.
Can you see my screen? Is it sharing?
Nope.
Okay, hold on.
have you, my child, my dear. See the blood he shed for you. What suffering? Say, what more could he give? Clothed in his perfection, bring praise of fragrance sweet. Garland at joy, come worship at his feet. That the Lamb who was slain might receive the reward, might receive the reward of his suffering. Look, the world's great harvest fields are ready now, and Christ commands us go, and the souls are dying so hopelessly. His wondrous love for the glory of the King. Father, send more laborers, the lost to gather in. That the Lamb who was slain might receive the reward, might receive suffering. Come the day when we will stand there face to face. What joy will fill his eyes, for at last his bride appears so beautiful. Her glory fills the skies, thrown from every nation, people, tribe and tongue, all creation sings. The wedding has begun, and the Lamb who was slain shall receive.
Okay, Terry wants us to pray for Jeff. He's not feeling too well. He's got a little fever. How many of you know it ain't nothing for God? All right, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against the spirit of infirmity on him. I command it to go. In Jesus' name, and I command all the symptoms to go. I don't even care what you call yourself. You're gone from his body in Jesus' name. He's a child of the living God. He's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have room there for you. So you just leave him right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Jeff is healed, delivered, and set free from all spirits of infirmity right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he is healed and delivered by the blood of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you, Lord.
praise you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given Jeff and Terry. I thank you, Lord, for lifting them up, giving him strength of soul, filling up with words of faith in his heart and his mind, peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that his eyes are fixed on Jesus, that he has the mind of Christ, and he is not moved by any of the physical things, and they're lifting off of him, even as Michael prayed. And we thank you, Lord, their angels are already there ministering to him. These symptoms are lessening, becoming less and less and less, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you give him strength to his body and clarity of thought and mind, encouragement. You bring back to his remembrance your promises. And if he and Terry just speak the word of God out loud over each other, Father, and just praise you, Lord, and exalt your name, Lord, and give them, Lord, the grace that comes from your throne, Father, as we lift them all up, Lord. They will just stand fast, steadfast and unmoved, and rest, Lord, complete rest in you, surrendering everything to you, knowing the promises that it is done. It's done. Jesus said it's finished. And victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Jesus, you overcame the whole world. You said we would have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, you overcame the whole world. You did it for us. You did it by your blood, by your sacrifice, and that we can claim these things and not give up. Because you are faithful to promise, we will not give up the confession nor hope. We will waver not. I thank you, Lord, that they're resting and speaking the word of God, speaking it in boldness and encouraging each other every day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving them love for each other and for you, and just guarding their hearts and their thoughts. And I thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of what we're all believing with them for, Father, because it's already finished. You don't lie. You are faithful. You won't ever fail. Your promises are forever. They are written in your they're eternal. They're written in eternity. You will not fail them. You will not fail them. You will not fail them. And I thank you, Lord, for making that known unto them, deep within them, Lord, that you're with them and you're not going to fail them. And I thank you, Lord, it's already done. I thank you, Lord, it's done. We praise you, Lord. Amen.
I command all fear of anything to go from Terry and Jeff right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that they are overcomers. And I praise you, Father, that they are enduring in their faith to me, that this is already taken care of at the cross. We praise you for it, Father. Does everybody believe that? Lord of God, I do. I believe it with them. And I know everybody here does too. So I thank you, Lord, that there is no fear. It's gone. In Jesus' name, let us rest in the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Okay, it's done, Terry. Hey, Debbie, did you want to give, somebody asked you that you give something here, the word that you had the other night or something?
It was a dream.
Okay.
A dream, but I have to bring it up in the blog. So I'll bring it up and read it from there. I don't know. Okay. Yesterday morning, this was on September 1st. Yesterday morning, September 1st, I woke up out of a dream. I was someplace with other women. In the dream, I didn't know who the women were, but I knew they were friends. I only saw a small portion of the room where I was sitting, and I was talking to a woman, but not really knowing who she was. And as I was talking to this woman, another woman walked up to me and handed me a phone, telling me I had an urgent phone call. The next thing I knew, she was gone, and I didn't have the phone. Then suddenly, the woman was there again. She again handed me the phone, telling me I had an urgent call. As I took the call, I saw I was talking to Denny, but I couldn't hear a thing that he was saying. I could barely hear his voice. I told him, I don't understand what you're saying. I can't hear you. And right then my spirit was filled with a very strong sense of urgency and whatever it was he wanted to tell me. He was sitting at a desk. I watched him lean forward in a very urgent manner, like waiting to get in my, like wanting to get in my face. He raised his left hand and he was shaking it in a way like, you've got to hear what I'm saying. Then I noticed his twin brother, Danny, who was also in heaven with the Lord, standing behind him. He was showing the same strong sense of urgency in the way he was moving. His arms are crossed over his chest with his fingers under his armpit, something they both did constantly. I watched him take one hand and put his finger up to his lips and start pacing back and forth, 3 to 4 steps in each direction, and kept pacing, showing the same urgency that I was seeing in Denny. They were both wearing light brown shirts. Denny was still talking urgently, trying to get me to hear him, and then the dream ended. I woke up with a scared feeling, and I asked God, Lord, what is going on? I just started praying and doing spiritual warfare. It was especially alarming to me because I thought of Denny and his brother as two witnesses to what awful thing was about to happen, and also the woman handed me the phone 2 times. So as I was praying, I believe the Lord showed me some things. Thoughts came to me, and I asked the Lord about them and even asked for confirmations, but I was getting nothing. I remember saying to myself out loud, there's something else in this dream I need to look at. And I remember speaking out, their shirts. I really believe God was directing me. I Googled what the color brown represents in dreams. A link opened to an audio with a woman, a believer, who interprets dreams. The color brown represents positive things and negative things. A couple of positives are calm, humility, able to bend low. I wanted to put in compassion too, but I didn't. I got that one. Some negatives are carnality, worldly driven, having fleshly desires, compromise. She shared a dream that a woman shared with her, wanting to get understanding of it. The woman who had the dream was in a bathroom that was not her bathroom. She was doing something at the sink. Then a dirty brown dog walked in and jumped in the tub and was going to start to pee in the tub. She made the dog get out, telling it that it needed to go pee in the toilet, not in the tub. The dog got out of the tub but would not go to the toilet. It jumped right back in the tub to start to pee in the tub. She ordered it out again, telling it that it can't do that in the tub. It has to use the toilet. So it jumped out of the tub and went by the toilet. But it turned around, went right back to the tub again to pee in the tub. This time after she ordered the dog out of the tub, it jumped out of the tub and it jumped up onto the toilet and started peeing in the toilet. So a dog is a friend, and the woman she was helping with this dream really was her friend, representing her friend. Represented by the dog. And she was helping her friend to see that you have to cleanse the inside of you before taking care of cleaning the outside, like the dog was doing, or she was doing. So I understood the urgency coming from Denny and his twin. Denny was trying to warn me very urgently, and all of us, you better be ready. There's not much time left. Make sure you are cleansed on the inside. Make sure there is no unforgiveness in you. No compromise with this world, and make sure you have nothing but love in your hearts for one another. The very same love that Jesus has for you. I'm telling you, you don't have much time left. Get ready. Get clean. And I said, I want you to know that this is important, but the exclamation points weren't me yelling. It was, I did it in exclamation points. And it was just, I felt this urgency of Denny. It was that loud to me. So I thought to ask the Lord again for a confirmation. By faith at random, I opened up in 1 Peter 1:22, and my finger landed on purified. So it was first, the verses were 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And I just did a prayer that, Lord, you are letting us know the urgency of the fact that we cannot love one another fervently from our hearts. doing outward signs of love, but there are things in our heart that needs to be cleansed out of us, repented thoroughly of. Any love for anything of this world, any pride, any unforgiveness, impatience, any fleshly desires, stop the flow of pure love for one another. I pray you help each of us to search our hearts, to look inside our hearts, repent of whatever you show us there, and let us raise our heads up knowing we are clean so that we can truly have that, have what we want to have with one another. True brotherly and sisterly love and pure love for you. We know that time is up and we thank you, Lord, that we are all going to stand clean before you. Amen. That's it.
Amen. That's a good dream. That's a correction. Jesus. Lord, we just pray and we thank you, Lord, for cleaning out all the junk out of us in the next 4 days. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that you have been doing this all along. And, Lord, we just, we ask that you place it in our hearts. Show us anything that has hindered us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Show us all things that have hindered our walk. Anything that has to do with love of the brethren, Lord. Take all things out of our heart that would hinder that love toward everybody. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Oh, God bless you. Anybody else? Lord, I pray everybody here, everybody listening, and will listen to this, will just repent, clean themselves up to get ready for this great happening. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us. Amen. When you love somebody, you don't steal from them, do you? When you love somebody, you don't kill them. When you love somebody, you don't steal from them, thieve from them. There's all kinds of things in there that we can look at. How many of you know you can steal spiritual things from people? Yeah. Okay, read that. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than all fat on rams. Is that what I'm reading? Fat on rams, 1 Samuel 15:22. Okay. That's a good one, Jesse, I guess. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Judy.
Just something that you said, that you can steal from somebody spiritually. You and I think all the brethren are really good at this. You, David, everyone, you know, teaching us to get our eyes on Christ and to believe the promises and exercise faith. It's when, you know, if we cause someone to stumble by, you know, putting them down or getting them looking at themselves or overcorrecting somebody or, you know, inadvertently doing something, you know. When a lot of times I guess we do that too when we're young in the Lord, is always trying to help somebody too much, maybe. We just need to be really careful with our words. So words, as we've learned,
you know, they have a lot of power. We just don't know how someone's going to receive our words, you know, because we don't know exactly what they're dealing with or, you know, and it may not be just somebody like that we know, but it was somebody, you know, randomly that God brings across our path that, you know, that we're speaking grace, we're doing it with love, and we're speaking truth so that they will, they'll know what they need to know if they're in sin, you know, without over magnifying, you know, what the sin is, but, you know, they need to be convicted in their own conscience of something, it's like, okay, well, we have all been there somewhere, but you know, Christ took that away, you know, and bring the gospel to them, and, you know, share what Jesus already did. It's like, well, you got rid of that, you confessed it, it's not yours anymore. Christ gave you his nature, he took that, and, you know, to give them hope, to give them faith about what Jesus really did for them. So, you know, I can see where, you know, when somebody gets somebody judges you or criticizes you and, you know, keeps telling you, you know, or not helping you, or it's like, if they would rather, you know, it's a lot of self-righteousness, I guess, in the church and religion, that kind of thing, that you don't deserve grace and they're better than you and that kind of thing too. It's just, I guess we've all been given a taste of that somewhere, you know, where the church hurt you, or somebody in the church, somebody did that or whatever. So that's just one of the ways where the enemy will steal from you. You know, you're running your race and you're trying to do, you know, best you can and learn and grow, and then, you know, somebody comes around and just, you know, doesn't think you're worthy of grace. You know, and then getting your eyes on yourself and casting you down. That's how I think, you know, sometimes people steal, the devil uses them to steal, you know, your faith and get you looking at yourself and what you were, you know. Anyway, that's what was coming to me, Michael, when you said that. I'm sure there's a lot of other examples too, but you know, it's like Jesus said, woe to them who causes one of my little ones to stumble. There's a lot of ways that people can do that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that pharisaical attitude can hurt a lot of people. Runs a lot of people off. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Maybe we can steal someone's faith. We steal each other's faith by the words we speak. Confessing the wrong thing. Like we damper our faith when we speak the wrong things, confess the wrong things. And we can speak about someone's who's dealing with something physical. Oops. And say something like, you know, you still got that? Are you still feeling this way? You know, just to bring it up, you know, you can, I think it might help kind of steal someone's faith. We speak the wrong confession. We're confessing the wrong thing for the brother or sister. How they look. Yeah, you don't look very good. I can tell you're not feeling well. Things like that, you know. So be careful and be thoughtful. I guess that can bring down someone's faith.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Jenny. Did you have something you want to add?
Yeah, but what Debbie just said just reminded me of somebody did that very thing to me one time when I asked somebody to pray for me about something that I was, you know, still had an issue with, you know. And the person actually said, are you still having that same problem? And I just went, I'm sorry to bother you. I really need someone to pray with, you know. And that's exactly what they did. And I just felt like such a loser. Yeah, I'm still having trouble. Will you pray for me? But yeah, and, you know, the person didn't mean it. You know, I'm sure they didn't realize that their words were doing just that. But boy, it's... Lord, put a watch over our mouths and
Amen.
Rattle our
Amen.
Tongues and let us only speak as you would speak you know. Get up, get my face, get my lip, lift up my head again.
And we said, you know, I've said so many stupid things in my past, I can't keep up with them all, so I just leave them alone. Try to go on and do what God wants me to do. Learn from my mistakes. All of them. And it ain't just a busted basket full either. Yeah.
It's all washed away.
Yeah, it's all gone now. Praise God. I ain't bringing them up anymore either. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for all the things, mistakes that we've made in the past. And even today, if we've done anything, and if we have, we don't know it. We thank you, Father, that that sin has gone away. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I just want to pray. I met all to agree with me, please. And last couple of days, I met a Joe. He's not born again, and I met Zacchaeus. Same one as in the Bible. He's an Indian guy. I spoke both to him and shared the gospel with him, and I handed some tracts. So I just want to pray about, I already prayed, but I just want to agree and confirm that. Thank you, Lord, for opening the understanding, Lord. At the moment, they get rid of that track, and the track be an opening to them. See, Lord, the true gospel, Lord. And then make him urgency, a necessity to read, to understand, and ask you for change in their lives, that they can be born again, that they can have a spirit of you, Father God, and a spirit of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for leading them. Thank you for the fulfillment. Thank you for working in them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with you, and I think everybody else here's hooked their faith up with you too, Joe. Thank you, Father, for bringing him in a mighty way and letting him be a good friend of Joe so they can have our fellowship together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir. Glory be to God. All right. Well, we're out of time. Glory be to God. Y'all be blessed. You hear?